so much for today, and grateful for the opportunity to have church and to be able to worship you, and pray that that is what happens, that we worship in spirit and in truth, that we worship with our hearts and minds solely focused on you, devoted to Scripture, to drawing near to you, to drawing close to you, to hearing what it is that you want us to hear. That we open our hearts and allow your word and the Holy Spirit to just move inside of us, to inspire us, to encourage us, to spur us on towards the love and good deeds that you have planned out for us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, James chapter 4, me turning over there. Going to have a little audience participation, a little interaction at the onset here. So what did you do this weekend? You can raise your hand and we can share. Just what are some of the things that you did this weekend? Chris Knox. Okay. Okay. Amen. Allison. Amen. There you go. Especially in February in Northeast Indiana, because it doesn't happen all that often. Thank you. And by the way, Bob and Rose, great to have you guys here today. Thank you for joining us. Who else? What else did we do this weekend? Bob. Nice. Okay. Amen to that. Jake. Nice. Attaboy. Now, the question is, were they lit up until this point?
Yes.
Oh, man, there you go. That's a faithful holiday brother. Family right there. Amen. Yes, Michelle? All right. Come on. Amen. What else? What else did we do? Yes, Mickey. Quilting, Andrew. Can't hear a word you said. Yeah, Gracie passed away, that's right. Jeff. Amen. Awesome. Evan and then Kristen. Nice. It's good. We have confirmation that's good barbecue over here. Amen. Amen. Kristen. Amen. All right, Jonas. Hey, and that's a good thing to learn. That's awesome. Please invite us over because we like sushi. I like to eat it. All right. Amen. I don't know if you can say amen to that, but amen. Amen to the root canal. David. Spent the night where? Awesome. Sweet. Hangout time. That's good. Yes, Gabby.
Deep clean the bathroom.
Deep clean the bathroom. And it may have not been this weekend, but something else did happen this week.
Oh, passed my
drug
test.
Bam. Stay, not stay, if you didn't hear, he didn't say stay off the roads, he said stay off the sidewalks. Amen. You know, this we had a busy weekend, and I'll talk a little bit more about it, but yesterday Elle and I spent 13 hours driving down to Indianapolis and then having an entire volleyball tournament down there, and then the drive back, it was busy, but it was good. Let me ask you another question. If you knew that this weekend would have been your last weekend on earth, how would you have lived this weekend differently than the way that you did? Think about that for a minute. If you knew that this would have been your last weekend, what would you have done differently? Or how would you have done it differently? You know, when you thinking about the things that you did, okay, you know, would you have done those things? Or, you know, and for some of us, we would have had to do those things. But in doing those, how would you have done those things? With the people that you spent time with, how would you have spent time with them any differently than you did? The conversations that you had with people, what would have been different about those conversations if you knew that this weekend would have been your last weekend here on earth? In James chapter 4 and verse 13, the brother of Jesus writes, he says, come on now. He says, come now. You who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit, make money, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What in the world is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. You know, the Bible talks about how we are, you read through the Proverbs, it talks often about making plans, right? We need to be organized. We don't need to be lazy, right? Go to the ant, you sluggard. Right, you know, there's lots of scriptures that talk about making plans, many plans, you know, a man makes. God ultimately determines, you know, our steps. But it's good to be organized. It's good to be disciplined, to have a calendar that we lay out and plan and organize. But then inevitably, life happens. God himself, or when we see from the story of Job, where the enemy, the devil himself, will come and ask permission to thwart whatever it is that we're going about doing in our lives. We make our plans, but then life has a way of happening, and it interrupts whatever course, whatever plan we had laid out. You know, he says, come on now. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. He says, come now. You say today or tomorrow we're going to go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make money. And that is, you know, if there is something that in first world, United States of America, that we struggle with is this idea of hey, we make our plans, decades in advance as students, thinking about what we're going to major in and all, and the path that we're going to take, the trajectory of our life, that we're going to do this, and by this date we're going to amass this, and we're going to get married and then have kids and settle and do all of this stuff, and we're going to make money and we're going to retire and we're going to, and none of which is bad to have plans. But he says, you know, he says, come on now, you're spending so much time. Today or tomorrow, we're going to do all of these things. And he says, yeah, in verse 14, you have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. And all of a sudden, life just ceases. So what would you do differently? How would you live your life differently? How would your weekend have gone differently if you knew that it was over after this weekend? How would those conversations be different? What would you have invested your time in doing? You know, Andrew mentioned, you know, that we had to say goodbye to our dog Gracie this weekend. And that was on Friday night, and it was terrible. I woke up, we all woke up Friday morning not having any idea that night we were going to be saying goodbye. And I think back, right, if I knew, then I probably wouldn't have gone to Indianapolis. I probably would have taken that time just that day to spend the entire day if I knew that all of a sudden life was going to cease there in that moment, that it would be over. Right? Or if there was something that I had to do, I would have made, if I had to go to Indianapolis, I would have made sure that I was even more intentional and more focused and more purposeful in the times and the interactions that I had, you know, with her in the days leading up. Or I would have, had I known that morning before leaving, I would have made more of a point and effort saying goodbye to her out, going out the door. Like, if I knew, I would have lived very differently. I think if we knew when our end was coming, would we not live and act very, very differently? He says, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. He says, what is your life? You are a mist, he says, that appears for a little time and then vanishes. That is our life. This is our life right here. Not the Febreze bottle, but our life is this, guys. That's gone. Now, for some of us who are a little older in this room, maybe that's our life, right? We've lived a little bit longer, and so it's a little, it smells really good up here now. Spring and renewal. This is how God describes our life. That's it. It's gone. We are here now, but there is no guarantee. He says, you know, he says, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You know, we're supposed to be talking about Balaam's donkey this morning, and we'll get to that, or we may not. You can go back if you haven't read it yet in Numbers, you know, 22. You know, but I just felt like I felt a different prompting of the Spirit to get us to focus on. What would we do differently? Now, we don't know when our end is going to come. That's unfortunately, none of us sitting here today know if today is going to be our last day. You know, if we knew, we would live very differently. You know, if I knew that my last day was today, you know, maybe we wouldn't have gone to the volleyball tournament. Right, and maybe we would have just spent that time special with family, right? But I don't know. And the reality is, we have to make plans. We have to organize ourselves. We have to move forward, and yet the question though that I want to leave us with, and I want us to really think about and ponder on is, because there's things that we have to. We still have to go to the grocery store and get groceries, and we still have to go to work, and we still have to go to school. But when you go and you do those things, how will you do it differently? In consideration that this is your life. What kind of thing, going back to your weekend, thinking about the people that you spent time with or the conversations that you had, how would that time with those people been different if you knew that that was the last time that you were going to spend with that person and the last things that you were going to be able to share? You'd still have to get gas in the car to be able to get to and from. But think about it this week. Going to work and to school and to the things. How would you do it differently if you knew that it could at any point be over? Because that is the promise of Scripture. We don't know. And at any point, it could be over. You know, I was thinking, and my heart just was hurting and breaking, you know, for the Martinez family. Right, thinking about, you know, this beautiful 2-year-old baby, and the joy and the love that little child brought to that family, and then all of a sudden life is gone. For many of us, most of us experience loss in some kind of way, you know, where it's there and then it's not. They're there and then they're not. Or it was a job that you had and then it was not. Or it was money that you had and then there was not. Right? We are probably of one of the worst societies here in America that just gets so focused and like head to the ground and just grinding out and just busy, busy, busy. And we get consumed with everything that's going on around us. And we just, we fail to stop. And consider and think, what if this is it? If today was it, how would you do it differently? With your roommates, with your parents, with your kids, with your friends, with your neighbors, with strangers, with the people in your places of work. If that was it, how would it look differently? I know for me it would look very differently. If I was really living in light of eternity, if we were really living with eternity in mind, that at any time, at any moment, God could call my number and then I face judgment. Because we will all, when life ceases, face judgment. But not just me. I am so thankful and grateful that I know that I'm going to face this judgment, but I know that if I face judgment today, I am going to be able to be right before Him, and I'm going to hear Him say, well done, a good, faithful servant. But what about the people that God puts in my life? You know, how much more motivated would I be to share the good news? Right, to not hold on. How much more motivated would you be to confess your sin if there is stuff hidden in the darkness? If you knew that it could end tomorrow, and carrying that darkness of which God cannot dwell because He cannot dwell with dark, how much more motivated would you be to vomit that stuff up, to get it up and out no matter the cost, no matter the consequence, because ultimately this is the only thing that matters, is that we're right before Him. That's it. And when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter what you have, how much of it that you have. It doesn't matter what little you have or how little of it that you do have. The only thing that matters is our soul being right for Him. So what would it be? What could be so much, so hard for us to let go of that Vulcan death grip that we just cling so hard to? When ultimately it doesn't matter, because life is a mist. It's just, bam, it's gone. It's gone. Like, I mean, you almost can't see it, you know, right after it's gone, it's there. I see a little bit of stuff falling down, but you're trying hard. It's, right? You know, I think about in Matthew chapter 6. You know, verse 25, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. Why not? Because it's not going to be around very long. Anyway. You know, what you will eat or drink, nor about your body what you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You know, see, the animals, the birds, they're not trying to retire. That's not what their heart's focused on. They're not. They don't amass all of this stuff and put it in the little hole. The woodpecker that pecks a little hole out in a tree, and like, it doesn't do that. It doesn't think to do that. Right? What we do wouldn't make sense to the rest of the created world around us. Right? That's not how God created us to be. We need a plan. We need to be prepared. We need to be organized. There's nothing wrong, but being consumed with it, that it controls our life. That's not what Jesus is saying. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? Just think about that. Meditate on that. How much wasted time and energy have you devoted to being anxious and worried about things you can't control this week? How much wasted time and energy have you spent on things that you can't control? What class am I going to get? What job am I going to get after high school, college? You know, how am I going to pay for this, or how am I going to do that? Right? You know, so much wasted time being anxious. You know, my dad said, he had so many health issues. And if there was somebody that had reason to worry or be anxious or uncertain about life in the future. He had plenty of reasons, but when asked, he says, I'm not going to worry until there's something actually to worry about. We spend so much time consumed with things that are absolutely out of our control. You can worry about it and stress about it all day long till the point if it makes you sick. Then one of the number one causes of heart disease is stress. Like, we literally stress ourselves into heart attacks. That happened to my dad. Over things that we cannot control. For what? What do we gain? What, in all of that worry and stress, what value has that brought to your life? What peace has that brought to your life? How many extra days are you going to get to live on the back end that God says, okay, because of all that worry and stress, I'm going to add some, because you wasted all of that time, I'm now going to add some time. There is none. We get nothing except more gray hair and more health problems. Our faith gets hit. We're not being faithful. We're not trusting God, so we're not going to be as close to Him. And often that gets projected out onto our families, our marriages, our kids, their friends and relationships. It gets brought into the church, of which we can't control any of it. And why are you anxious about clothing? Verse 28, consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There it is, that tomorrow again. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious enough for itself. We don't know if tomorrow's coming, and when tomorrow comes, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So let's focus on today and how we're going to live our lives today. Because today could be over like that. Nobody ever wakes up expecting what happens. And then it happens. And then we look back with regret. Or we struggle with that regret anyway. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. What could I have done differently? What should I have done differently? If this was your conversations, husbands, with your wives, how different would that have gone this weekend? Brothers and sisters, fathers to children, children to moms. You know, how would you do it differently? What would be your eternal perspective? How would you think? How would you view life? What's going on in the world around you? The things that we get so consumed with. In light of eternity, most of that stuff really becomes not very important at all. It's what am I doing to assure that when I face that judgment, I hear, well done, good and faithful servant, not away from me, you evildoer. There's a lost world all around us. If I was living in light of eternity, if I was living knowing that the people that I were going to cross paths with, maybe parents from the kids' school, or Andrew's swim, or Ella's, you know, volleyball, or the complete strangers, my neighbors, I would have aggressively had conversations with them very differently than I did. Because what matters is not the final score of a game, but those whom are there watching the game, what's the final score in their life? Are they in the win column when that final horn or whistle goes? Right? When they stand before Jesus. You know, parents to kids, what matters most is not how many activities they're in and how successful they are academically and all that stuff. That's not important, but the only thing that is important is whether your kids are fearing the Lord. growing up in the instruction and training of it. How much time are you investing in that? Because there isn't going to be anything else more important. We can attain and we can amass. And at the end of the day, if we have attained and we have amassed, and yet our children aren't there because we didn't invest what we should have invested. What? Who cares? I mean, who cares about anything else? To the husbands and the wives, right? You know what goes on inside your own home. The conversations. Husbands, you see your wives and what they're battling and going through and struggling with. And wives, you see your husbands and our derelictions of duty, you know, when it comes to Jake, he knows, he gets that. You know, but it's like we know, but what are we doing? How are you as a husband or a wife building the other up to make sure that they are going to face eternity when that sound, that horn goes or that whistle blows, that they're on the right side of it? We play passive because honestly, we think we have time. There's a lot going on, but there isn't. There is a lot going on. Most of it is not important, and of which when it all comes down and the mist finally fades out of sight, when our number is called, when God calls us to face that judgment, what will be the important things? What will matter most? In verse 19, it says, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I think it's a great place to close out. You know, if our hearts are set on the treasures of heaven, then everything that we do will be pointing in that direction. Every conversation that we have will be pointing in that direction. Everything that we do, every place that we go will be pointed in that direction. If our hearts and our treasure is set here on the things of this world, then everything that you do will be pointed in that direction. Where your treasure is, the thing that you value the most. And Jesus goes on to say that we will know a tree by its fruit. So we can say all day long the things, we can say the right things, but our lives bear the fruit. And so I want to encourage us before we take communion. You know, thinking about Jesus. Jesus, he came. I was thinking about this, you know how when I was doing the lesson for the teachers, you know, and I was looking at the cup. You know, his body, the bread and the juice, his body that was broken and poured out. I was in my reading today in Deuteronomy that was talking about, you know, God was giving permission to the Israelites when they, you know, crossed over the Jordan and they entered the land and that they could eat all these different meats and stuff like that. But he said, the blood you will not eat. You will pour the blood out on the ground like you do water. And I thought about Jesus hanging on the cross. And his blood just being poured, literally pouring out onto the ground. And because of the sacrifice that Jesus made, because of what he went through, I have and we have an opportunity. You know what? The great thing is, it's not over till it's over. There is always a comeback. It doesn't matter right now if the score is 100-3 with 5 seconds left in the game. The awesome thing with God, the awesome thing with Jesus, because what he did, when we decide, it's like an immediate reset. Right. Lamentations talks about his mercies are new every morning. Right. It's like you could have completely flunked this weekend, and yet today, mercies are new every morning. We have an opportunity to reset, to refocus, to recalibrate, to get our eyes focused back on Jesus. And to get ourselves focused back on the world around us that is lost that needs to sit here with us to hear the message, to hear the word of God, to have a chance and a choice. Let us celebrate. Let us praise him as we take the communion. Let us value and appreciate it and allow us to move on from here today. And here's the deal, guys. This is not going to happen easy. It is going to take disciplining a new way of living and thinking. But it's my desire. It's my heart's desire for you that we will begin to learn how to discipline our life, our way of thinking, how we act, in such a way that our life is a mist. Living that way. Your entire life, whether you're 18 or 58, everything in life has been focused to you, ingrained into you, to not do that. It's not going to happen overnight. But let's start that discipline to thinking and living in light of eternity as if life were a mist. And let's start it now in taking communion. Let's make that choice and decision right now that we're going to recommit, for those of us who are disciples, to the lordship of Jesus in our lives. And for those who may not be disciples in this room, that we're going to make a decision to seek and find him. As Monty prayed, because he will not hide himself from us when we seek him with all our hearts. Give your first fruits. Give your first. Seek him with all your heart. Not your seconds, not your leftovers, not your scraps. Give him all. And then let's begin to live our lives in light of eternity because nothing else matters. God, thank you for today. And thank you, God, that you graciously allow times and moments and things in life, however hard, disheartening, sad they may be, to serve as opportunities to reset our minds and our hearts, to focus on the things that matter, not on the things that don't. Help us to choose to live our lives in light of eternity. With that in mind, that we would consider what we would do and how we would do them differently. The conversations that we would have and how we would have them differently. Because Jesus, we see you and you are coming on the cloud with your entourage of angels, and that day is coming of which we will all stand before you. And the thing is, not a one of us know when that day will come. So help us to live in light of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.